Welcome to the Roundtable on WAMC, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Ray Graff, in for Joe Donahue. Just today, Joe and Alan will be on the road tomorrow at Tanglewood, which is pretty exciting stuff, and musical events coming up all over the region in the next several days. A musical show in store, actually, for you today. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll find out about Seegerfest. Alan talks to Natalie Merchant about two concerts that are coming up in the region. Ian Pickus will talk with Graham Nash about a new Crosby, Stills, and Nash & Young set at a Crosby, Stills, and Nash concert in Woodstock this weekend. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Paul McCartney with a couple of experts. Paul will be at the Times Union Center this weekend.
I love Paul McCartney.
It's pretty huge.
Yeah.
Remember when Sinatra came to...
I do. I was covering it. I was covering it at a local television station. It was, you never saw anything so big in Albany.
I know. It was amazing. But it's not Woodstock. Bethel Woods is not the town of Woodstock.
Okay. You're right.
Okay. Where Woodstock happened.
I apologize.
But Woodstock is not where the event happened.
I am duly castigated.
60-mile difference between the town of Woodstock and the town of Bethel.
And a couple of counties that really make a difference.
Yes.
All right, so you're giving me a hard time. I haven't even introduced
Good morning,
the panel
Ray.
Yet.
And the Ramones.
Let's talk first and introduce you to our regular panelists, Libby Post, the political consultant, and Alan Shartok, WAMC's Bon Vivant.
Here you are, keeping it real, Ray. We love it when you're here with us.
It's nice to be here. And also an irregular panelist, Stu Shinsky. You've been here once or twice, right?
A few times, and I'm proud to be a regular.
Okay, so you are a regular now. Oh, irregular.
Irregular.
So you know the drill. We take an idea, a story, we bat it around until we're tired of it, or even beyond that point, and then we move on.
Stu, just eat more grains.
All right. So, and you'll be irregular.
Now, if you want to join in the conversation at home, we'd love to hear from you. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. Roundtable@wamc.org. Alan will read them. I encourage you to be concise. In other words, a seven-paragraph...
Me or them?
Well, I always encourage you to do that, but it doesn't always work. But no, if you're writing us, a paragraph. If it's seven paragraphs, then Alan has to edit on the fly, and you may not get on the air. So, that and swearing, pretty much out. All right, let's start. Issue one: GOP power broker in Albany charged with lying to the FBI. State Senator Thomas W. Libous was indicted along with his son Matthew on charges that the senator had lied to federal agents and that his son had filed false tax returns. This quoting from the New York Times. This is a big deal. And Alan, I know that you may have thought about it.
I have. Tom Libous is a major player. He's the number two guy in the Republican side of the Senate. And as you probably all know by now, if not, I'll tell you, he is a favorite of the Democratic, although right of center, Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Why is he a favorite?
Well, it all depends. Would you like an hour treatise or the 5 minutes or the 2 minutes or whatever?
I got time. Do whatever you want.
Well, here it is, basically. Andrew Cuomo, like Papa Cuomo, has always benefited from having the Republicans in power in the Senate. And the reason for that is that the party to his left would have a lot more progressive agenda items that would cost the state more money, as he sees it. I'm quite sure I'm right about that. So therefore, even though he says that he's for a Democratic Senate, just understand that it's probably not true. And so I could give you a long list of ways in which he's kept them in power over there. But then there was the Working Families Party, and as a result, he got booed. And Bill de Blasio, the big progressive mayor of New York, had to come in and save his keister, Cuomo's keister. And one of the things that Cuomo had to promise is he'd get the Democrats back in power again. But I'm telling you that part of what Cuomo has always done was to be very nice to certain Republican senators, and the nicest of all, and I read a blog that just showed today all of the things that nice things he'd been saying about this guy Libous, who is now indicted, were all laudatory. And so that's why, the long way around, Andrew Cuomo has always been very nice to Libous.
Stu Shinsky, the charge basically on Senator Libous, not his son, goes back to a case in White Plains, and it goes back a year or two now? It's been a while.
I think it has been a while, yes.
4 years.
This is why it's called Planet Albany. Okay, it seems that things happen up here in the legislative world that just, it doesn't even surprise you anymore with the level of corruption. Now, I don't know if this guy is guilty.
That's a good point.
Okay, I'm not judging, but you know what? The community perception is going to be, there goes Albany again. There's another case, there's more police, there's the federal prosecutors again. You know, it's... Why does that building down the block from here, the state capitol, why can't they all be nice? Why can't they think about public service? This doesn't end.
Libby?
Well, you know, so many of them have left since 2026. Legislators have left office because of criminal or ethical issues since 2000. Now, 26 of 211, that's a little more than 10%. And I think the entrenchment, although I'm not a believer in term limits, but, you know, the election law is written to protect the incumbent, and the entrenchment that's happening, I think it's time for new people, new faces. And you know, who knows what he's done is right or wrong. It's only one count. Usually there's a hell of a lot more. Usually there's many more counts.
You can say
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Usually there's a lot more counts and, you know, It looks a little murky that they really can't connect all these dots between Rick Ostroff's firm and the law firm Manzone, I guess his name was, and where everyone's going to go working. And, you know, I mean, if the son didn't file his tax returns properly, he needs to be held accountable.
Okay.
But are the sins of the son, should they weigh on the father? I don't know.
You make a great point, and we will find out more about the actual charges and the evidence involved. Now, if there's a tape of him saying, here's a promise, I'll steer business to this law firm.
Give my boy a job.
He says he doesn't know. Is this, Alan, another one of those, as Libby put it, murky cases, very similar to the Bruno case, where you can't prove there's a quid pro quo?
Well, we do know that U.S. Attorney Pete Berar has decided that he's going to be the one to police Albany for good reason, because there's too many insidious deals around here.
We can't police ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I wouldn't say ourselves, because I don't see myself in that group.
Right. They can't police themselves. Yeah. Me too.
Unelected Alan Chartok.
But I think you're right. You have a very good point, Raymond, because we do know that it's a mess, and that he's Joe Bruno got off, and how did he get off? Well, jury didn't buy it. They thought it wasn't up to snuff. Didn't really, and so Bruno gets off. Now he's asking the state to pay his $2 million lawyer fee, and they're going to have to. But as a former secretary in one of the Republican administrations once said, but what's happened to my reputation? Who will restore that? Mm-hmm. He goes down, and that's what happens.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. If you missed the news yesterday, broke yesterday, I guess, around 10 or 11 o'clock, that State Senator Thomas Libous is indicted on federal charges. And we will see if there is, in fact, some strong evidence rather than circumstantial evidence here. But one thing we do know is he was the number two Republican in the state Senate. The Republican power, control of power is obviously nearing an end anyway. Is this a huge blow to the Republicans if he is a goner?
Well, if he's a goner and they lose that seat.
But if they're already out of power, does it really matter?
Well, it's unclear that they're really going to be out of power. There's some people who are suspected of lying about all of this. And nobody knows what
shocked.
Nobody
shocked,
really knows whether, you know, these guys faced with primaries, the group of four or five, whether or not they are really going to realign with the Democrats, or those after they don't get any primaries as a result of their agreement to go back with the Democrats, whether they're going to be saying, oh, just kidding.
Yeah, and there's one other interesting angle about this. Senator Libous has said that he has terminal cancer. I don't know the specifics of his health. He is clearly, he was in court yesterday. He has made numerous public appearances. Would he run again if he did not have this illness? Who knows? But you know what? If he did run, would he win? I mean, don't forget, Charles Rangel, clearly controversial in New York City, didn't pay taxes, stuff like that. Yeah, he just got
indicted.
Was not indicted, but you know what? Maybe a guy who run the Ways and Means Committee like Charles Rangel should pay his taxes.
Well, he'll
win.
I think Libous will win. If he runs, he'll win.
He'll probably win.
He'll win. They love him out in Binghamton. Yeah. It's a Republican district.
But you never know. I worked for a congressman from Trenton, New Jersey, who I thought was unfairly accused of during the Abscam scandal. Trenton was a Democratic city. He lost, and the Republican who beat him as a result of this has been there ever since.
Well.
Smith. It was Chris Smith.
Yeah, Chris Smith, yeah.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, we are joined today by Stu Shinsky of the Poughkeepsie Journal, political consultant Libby Post, and our own Alan Chartok. I'm Ray Graff. We'll take a short break. We'll check the mailbag, if in fact there is any mail, and then we'll move on to a similar story across the pond. You're listening to The Roundtable.
Support for WAMC comes from Capital Counseling, mental health therapy for adults, teens, children, and couples in both private and group settings, your lifeline to better mental health, capitalcounseling.org. Topperson, natural medicine creams designed to provide relief of gardening aches and pains, sore backs, and poison ivy, topperson.com. Dorset Theater Festival, Dorset, Vermont, presenting Leslie Ivazian's new comedy, Out of the City, dorsettheaterfestival.org for tickets. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com.
Is that Jaco Pastorius on the bass there doing Blackbird? Yeah, wow, nice. We're playing McCartney music today as bumper music because he'll be here on the 5th.
Wait a second. You said Pastorius. Isn't Pastorius the guy who's on trial for his life?
No. Jaco Pastorius, a great jazz bass player from the 70s, and he has passed on.
Oh, okay.
But he just a tremendous talent was with Weather Report, and I'm sure you and I went to some Weather Report concerts back in the 70s.
That was a band, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wayne Shorter. Post Weavers,
as a matter of fact, yes.
Okay.
Alan did the mailbag. Have we any mail today?
Mailbag doesn't look promising.
No, nothing today.
Not yet.
We've put them to sleep again.
Feeling
very sleepy.
Oh, wait a second. Best line today, we have this guy Eric, and he doesn't like the fact that we have this tick, this universal tick where we say, So now he writes us yet again today. And he says, best line today, Alan. But you never know.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
You meant to do that, though.
But, well, what can I say,
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean?
So that's it. That's the
pith
and marrow of the emails to the roundtable at WAMC.org.
Yep. Roundtable. Start writing, folks.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. You see what happens. You get a fill-in. You get an irregular panelist.
You're the
panelist.
You get a fill-in host. Everybody loves you. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm sure it's never been said before, but everybody loves Raymond.
Fine. All right. So we talked about Libous.
Wasn't that a TV show?
Now let's talk about Nicolas Sarkozy, who was charged with corruption and illegal use of influence. It sounds like he could be right at home in Albany.
Let's call Preet.
It's called politics. I mean, you got power, and it is so clear that people who have power are always thinking about how to use it. Now, some are smart, and they don't use it in such a way that they personally, obviously, benefit from it. I think one of the things that we see in Albany all the time is they just can't stop doing that. And they can't say, well, I have this power, and I should use it to help myself. Joe Bruno sells a horse to somebody who wants something. The guy pays too much money for the horse, for the nag.
The bobtail nag. Well done.
And we know what that, there were people he was basically indicted for that.
Well.
But he gets off.
Now, the prosecutors say that Sarkozy is charged with corruption, influence peddling, and concealing breaches of confidentiality. The subtext here is that he's considering a run once again for the top post.
Sure.
And there were commentators I watched this morning on Al Jazeera America that said, this smells very political.
Well, no, it does. It does. He was brought in, I think they said they questioned him for something like 18 hours And then they walked out and they basically indicted him, for this. It's almost, it's clear that it is, quote, political.
You know, it says in the story here from The Independent, he is accused of promising one of his magistrates mm-hmm. a prestigious job in Monaco in return for information that could help his defense in a case in which he was accused of soliciting money. Okay, fine. How many politicians promise jobs
for soliciting
quid quo pro? Yes.
And how is it done?
This is American politics right here.
Yeah.
And Stu, how is it done?
Yes.
You know, there's if you do this, I'll do that into a microphone. Or there
it's the
is
the art of the deal. I'm not saying he's guilty or innocent, but you know what? This sounds very American to me.
Libby, anything?
No.
You don't care.
Well, I mean, I care, but, you know, it's you know, you're talking about power, and power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's just that simple. And, you know, we're seeing it over and over and over again.
You think Lyndon Johnson, when he ran the Senate,
He did the same thing. All do it. It's just that
his policy.
We're in a 24-hour news cycle constantly. You have Facebook, you have social media. A story doesn't have the opportunity to die. And so it's just kept alive and kept alive. Back then, you could do lots of different things. John Kennedy would have been hounded out of office if the American people knew about the women coming in and out and how these women were not vetted. They could have been Soviet spies, for all we knew. If you read the dark side, or you read the dark side of Camelot, people. But that was then. This is now. It's a constant news cycle. And so he's been charged with corruption and illegal use of influence. What else is new? He's an elected official.
Well, he's a fairly right-wing official. The socialist government in power now seems to have been out for him since last fall, whether they have him. Now, he's facing 10 years in the slammer, so not minor charges. We'll certainly keep an eye on where that's going. And the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org.
But what's interesting is Holland, who is the president now, isn't facing anything for cheating on his mistress with somebody else while he was still married to his wife.
But that's fine.
Though. France.
I'm not saying it's fine. Please don't complain. Don't write it. What I'm saying is, from a legal standpoint.
Right. That's not illegal. Well, it's all according to how you look at it. But
And we did hear from Peter.
Oh, we only have about 15 seconds.
Okay, well, we'll wait then.
Let's do it on the other side of the news.
What a good idea.
All right. This is fun. This is the round table. We'll break for news. And welcome back to the Roundtable, boys and girls. It's 9:36 on a Wednesday. Oh, it's hot out. I just went out and took the air. It is hot and it is muggy out. It is going to be one of those days. There are thunderstorms on the horizon, perhaps later today. So we will, of course, keep you apprised of any weather developments here at WAMC. Roundtable@WAMC.org is the email address if you want to weigh in here on the panel portion of our program. Alan, we have some mail.
We do. We've heard from our regular correspondent, Gary from Woodstock, who says, Alan has touched on the Hegelian dialectic. Whichever party is in power needs the opposing party to stand as a roadblock for everything the party in power has promised to do but, quote, can't achieve because of the obstructionism. Obama and Boehner led House is a prime example. I don't happen to agree with that analysis.
No?
No, I think.
But you say it all the time about certain governors and wanting Republicans in power. So isn't that the same thing?
Well, it's always a matter of perspective. In other words, how much. I mean, the fact that the Republicans in the House have said no to the president again and again and again before they analyze whether or not this is doable, even on the most mundane sort of things. No, I don't agree with Gary, but that's seldom that I don't agree with him.
But don't you think there are 50 shades of gray here to some extent? Because the president can, if there's something the president doesn't want. He yesterday was talking about acting on immigration, which he clearly wants to happen.
Yes.
But he said, hey, the Republicans got to do something. So that line can work for him if, in fact, there's something he doesn't want to do.
I see your point.
Okay, so the emailer
Gary from
was correct. The Hegelian Dialectic.
You want to define the Hegelian
not at all,
dialectic?
Not at all, sir. I failed philosophy.
All right.
Same
right.
Two aspirins call me
just,
the
just remember that Marx took Hegel and stood him up upside down.
Fine.
Okay. Ray, this is to you, Ray.
Fine.
NPR last year, a study of corruption by state showed that it was much worse in states where the capital is not also the primary largest city of the state. Interesting.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Speculation was that the buffering distance from more media critics in the big city, and then it has one of those things where, you know, sort of a colon and then a thing around it. What does that mean?
Do you know, smile.
A smile.
Sort of emoticon.
Well, does it mean I don't get
which way? This way or that way?
This way.
This way,
there's
a smile.
Yeah, a smile.
It's
okay.
A smile.
All right, I never quite got that. But also, the irony of that statement from Bonnie is this. It was put up here. The capital in Albany, New York, to prevent corruption, to get it out of the big city politics, which is the reason that we have it here. And I got into terrible trouble with a certain former mayor of this city who one day I just said, he got really angry, I thought, at least I heard he was, because I had
which
said.
Which one?
So on the air, I'm not going to go any further than that,
right.
But
well,
just
go
to recent city, recent mayor.
Okay.
And what I said was, well, maybe it's time to put the capital back down in New York City. He didn't like that. So I can't imagine why, but, you know,
right.
Because the government is an industry here in the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why. So that's what.
What about Kingston? It was the first capital.
First capital.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And look what happened.
Right. And right.
You know, that, you what does that mean?
No, it just means that right, when you take it out of there, you leave them bereft.
Okay. Well, Ira talked about it the other day, that it's like on the bottom of economic development. It's one of the poorest cities. Because IBM's gone, the capital left. Yeah.
Oh, Libby, you just made a segue that was phenomenal. Oh,
but before we go, I want to just say I love and appreciate Kingston. I think it's a wonderful place.
And
I don't want anybody to think that in any way I would cast any assiduous comments
on
it.
There's a great LGBT center there.
There is
founded
that,
by
too.
Ginny Appuzzo.
So if you're from Kingston, and you want to email, it's roundtable@wamc.org. And we'd love to hear from you, roundtable@wamc.org.
I love Kingston.
Now, Libby... Wove it all together, talking about IBM.
Now, aren't you glad I'm here?
Stu, big article in your Poughkeepsie Journal, IBM deal may mark end of era. Tell us about it.
This is a seismic story for Poughkeepsie and the area. There is a very strong speculation that IBM is going to announce very soon that it's going to sell its East Fishkill plant, which it has had for several decades, and where roughly 3,000 people work.
Wow.
And they would sell this to a company called GlobalFoundries. That's the rumor.
The same one that's in Clifton
that's
Park.
That's in Malta, Saratoga County.
Yep.
And in essence, this is a potential move that would redefine IBM's presence in Dutchess County. It would redefine IBM's presence in the computer industry. And beyond all that, it would change the identity in many ways of what IBM is, what Dutchess County is, and really what's happening in the world of chip making. The story here is that if they sell this place, what will happen? Now, we want to think, and I don't say we, the Poughkeepsie Journal, we, Dutchess County, want to think that if someone wants to buy it, they're going to buy it, invest in it, build it up. IBM has been reducing jobs in Dutchess County.
There were 11,000 at one time, 25.
There were 31,000 at one time in the late 80s. Now there's about 7,500 jobs. Mm-hmm. About 3,000, 3,500 of those are at East Fishkill. So there's a lot of people's lives here. Who is this new company? Will they get sold? But again, IBM is not speaking. This is a business deal. We can understand them being a little reticent to come out with all the details before the deal is done. But there's a lot of people on pins and needles about what's going to happen down there, right? A lot of that property in East Fishkill off of Route 82 by, off of Route 52 by Route 84 is empty. Lots of empty buildings there because IBM has changed its operations over the years. They have reduced their chip-making facilities, and by the way, if you're not computer-savvy, this isn't chocolate chips that you get in that bag of Chips Ahoy. These are the chips that power computers, that power mainframes, that power, for instance, the Wii. These are, the in essence, the brains of computers. They make them in East Fishkill. They go around the world.
Yeah.
It's a seismic potential in terms of what can happen. And up here, if they do that, Malta would benefit, Saratoga County would benefit a lot because it would be the same company in theory.
But what does it do for Dutchess In other words, 3,000 jobs or however many you said, 7,200 altogether between the various complexes.
Right.
That's a fairly sizable chunk of the job market.
It is. There could be, and again, because this is all speculation at this point, there could be. There's lots of ramifications. What happens to the taxes that IBM pays? What restructuring may have to be done with pilots, which are payments in lieu of taxes, which, for instance, is paid to the Wappinger School District? What happens? Will people want to work for this new company?
Will they be allowed to?
Will they have to go through a rehiring process? Will they get the same benefits, salaries, tenure? How will all that? That's what people are greatly concerned about here.
And then there's one other thing. As Pete wrote once, when will we ever learn? I mean, you know, communities make major investments in some of these people. Actually, the chip makers right up here, and which we, frankly, seduce from another place, right? Isn't
Texas,
that how it happened? Yeah,
I believe
it. Yeah. So so then Pittsfield has learned the lesson with GE. Schenectady has learned the lesson with GE. Now we have this major corporate interest saying, well, you know, we'll save a few dollars, we'll redo whatever we have to do, it's our business plan, and they're willing to, you know, to move. We really have to be very careful about balancing. But Stu's looking at me. I know what he's thinking. He's saying, he's saying, well, yeah, you're right, but that's all ex post, post hoc propter hoc, you know, kind of
I don't know if I can pronounce propter hoc.
No, you know what? That's very interesting. No, you know what I'm thinking?
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that business, as Mike Tyson once said,
business
is business.
Yep. Yeah.
And you roll the dice as a community, and I think this serves as a warning shot for Malta, because everything is rosy now and on the up and up.
Everything's coming up that way.
Everything was coming up roses for IBM for decades and decades. Now, not so much.
Okay, so what would you do? Kick them out?
Don't kick them out, but I think you have to know going in that nothing lasts forever.
Well, you do know it going in, but hope springs eternal. 51% of the 53% of the marriages in America, you know, don't work out. What are you going to do? Not get married? What are you going to do?
Well, that's my point.
Well, I don't get your point, to be perfectly
my
honest.
My point
with you.
Is This is the way this business cycle runs.
I understand that. But, you know, you're a community. You work like crazy. You have a governor who helps you work like crazy to get this manufacturing plant there. You want to turn things around. What are you supposed to do? You say everybody should worry about it in the future. But how do you mitigate that?
You can't.
Well, I mean, they're not going to close the plant. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no rumor here that they're going to soap up the windows, board them up, and lock the doors with chains. I mean, there's billions of dollars invested in that plant. And New York State has given a lot of incentives to IBM for jobs levels that they have to maintain and things like that. So, you know, no one is saying they're going to basically just make this all go away. But it's also emblematic of IBM's changing of what it is and what its strategy is. I mean, you know, when IBM was in its heyday, you know, Apple was a fruit on your table.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, IBM is known for its mainframe manufacturing, a thing that runs the mega computers at, you know, massive companies, airline reservation systems, stuff like that. They have not had a strategy that has really gotten into the handheld device, for instance, Apple, that has really reflected societal changes in many ways. They do a lot of business consulting, a lot of services, mainframe sales, a lot of research and development. IBM patents hundreds of thousands of things over the last decade. So the company itself is changing, and the people who work there now see that change and wonder how this fits in.
But shouldn't they have seen some of this coming if they're so bright? You know, they're doing all this stuff. Shouldn't they have anticipated the fact that, you know, maybe somebody sitting up there should have said, you know, these little phones that people are carrying around, these pads and stuff like that, we should be doing that too? And I know that they've made some forays into that, haven't they?
They have. I mean, you know, IBM sold its laptop sort of division to Lenovo several years ago. I mean, why didn't Kodak see that digital photography would change the world, you know, years ago?
It's about entrenchment. And, you know, the guys at the top thinking, oh, they've got it all figured out and they don't have to change. And clearly when Apple came along, everybody laughed. I mean, a perfect example, Bill Gates went to IBM and was willing to sell them Windows for $100,000. Yeah. And they said no.
Yeah.
And look who's, you know, laughing all the way to the bank. I think part of this in terms of these cities and communities becoming dependent on one business, you know, is that there needs to be better planning for economic development. so that we're not dependent on just one thing, you know, and East Fishkill is dependent on IBM, and Binghamton was dependent on IBM, and Schenectady with GE and those kinds of places. There needs to be more thought put into economic development and how to bring up small businesses and to make sure that the communities are supported so this doesn't happen.
Well, it's easy to say.
Sure, it's great. It's fine.
You know,
it's easy
you know,
to say.
Doreen from Poughkeepsie has checked in. Do you know her, Stu?
I think I might,
okay,
yes.
Doreen from Poughkeepsie. All along, I have been saying that giving tax breaks to IBM will not keep them in Dutchess County. When they are ready to go, they will go regardless. And that's from Doreen. And Alexis says, Kingston loves you back.
Oh.
WAMC.
Oh, that's nice.
Good morning, Kingston.
Right,
good
but you know Kingston. Who might be taking a trip down to East Fishkill is Elaine Calieras, because if the campus is there, it would be a great another place for his new statutory nanotech college.
So why don't you explain to everybody exactly who he is? He's probably one of the most important and certainly the best
paid state employee.
State employees.
Well,
in the state.
Elaine Calieras brought nanotechnology to the state. Papa Cuomo brought him in. Built a college of nanoscience at the University of Albany, took a lot of resources from the University of Albany, and then last year decided he wanted to become a statutory college under SUNY, which means he was independent of the university, of the State University of New York at Albany, and can run his own show. Statutory colleges like optometry and the Stumpy School at Syracuse and labor relations.
What school is Syracuse?
Stumpy, the environmental school.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And the International Labor Relations School and at Cornell, and he has now developed campuses. He's got one here up at Fuller Road in Albany. He's taken the Rome IT campus and turned it into a nanotech campus, and you know the Mid Hudson Valley could use one. Why not?
Well, if this Global Foundries company, which does have its operation in Saratoga County, by the way, IBM has about 200 employees working up in Malta. They have an agreement, a partnership, existing partnership, where a couple hundred people from East Fishkill are in Malta offering their expertise for their new chip fabrication plant up there.
Fascinating. Now, people can find out more about this. What is your website, Stu?
PoughkeepsieJournal.com. PoughkeepsieJournal.com.
PoughkeepsieJournal.com. Poughkeepsie. Not everybody knows how to spell it.
One big fat word, PoughkeepsieJournal.com.
All right, let's take a short break. We'll be back. We'll talk cannibalism next.
Support for WAMC comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, now offering legal help for veterans serving the public for over 30 years. 800-342-3661. Gordon Fire Equipment, offering fire extinguisher service and inspections to businesses and organizations in the Hudson Valley. Family-owned since 1956. GordonFire.com. Buck Moon Arts Festival, Johnstown. 2 days of performing artists such as Latin Rhythm and Dance Band, Alex Torres and Orchestra, July 12th through 13th at Fulton Montgomery Community College, Buck Moon Arts Festival on Facebook. And Baba Louie's, Pittsfield, Great Barrington, and Hudson, New York, featuring lasagna night every Monday with salad and a basket of bread, BabaLouiesPizza.com.
Thank you very much. A beautiful music. It's Count Basie and the orchestra doing one of the great Beatle classics, because, you know, Paul McCartney will be in town.
And which classic was that?
It was Work Hard Every Day. I Send All My Loving to You. All My Loving.
Good,
you
okay.
Good, good. Ray knows his music.
All right, so you have a letter in the mailbag there, Uncle Alan.
I do, from John. IBM has received millions from New York State and local IDAs. The bribes have not paid off. As usual, these companies dip into the honeypot of public money. That's a reference to Pooh, I believe.
Winnie the Pooh, yes.
Thanks, Stu.
While simultaneously closing, Pooh to his friends, while simultaneously closing shop, laying off, and espousing a desire for smaller government. I wonder what would happen if we had participatory budgeting. And that's John from his BlackBerry device. Okay.
Is that it?
No.
All right.
And then we heard from Richard. If ever there was a city that has been neglected, it's Kingston. The good people of Kingston are creating a vibrant center for all the arts. We have a rich cultural diversity. The city has more varied choices of excellent cuisine than any other town or city in the area. Many classic buildings have been restored for several years now, yet our infrastructure is crumbling and jobs have left as a result. If New York State would invest in Kingston, this city would flourish. I, for one, would welcome returning the state capital to Kingston. I think it would be welcome, a welcome home party, the likes of which the region has never seen, and that's from Rich.
Okay. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We have about 4 minutes here.
Well, very, very quickly.
I throw this to... You have another one?
Yeah, well, there is.
All right.
Cannibalism. This is the topic. Finally, a topic we can sink our teeth into.
Hey!
Not for me.
Ba-da-bum.
All right, thanks very much. And let's get to it, then. So, this is from the New York Times.
This is Ray's favorite story of the entire day.
I think that it's not my favorite story, but the question here is an interesting one. And this
All
is from
right.
the New York
what
Times.
Is it?
Ruling in cannibal case revives debate over when a fantasy crosses a criminal line. Now, you know the story. The Gilberto Valle left little doubt about the depths of his deprivation. This is from the New York Times. In communications over the internet, he imagined subjecting women he knew to sex-related torture and, in some cases, murder and cannibalism. Prosecutors said this was part of a kidnapping conspiracy. He was convicted last year. Now, yesterday, a federal judge ordered him released on bond. He overturned the conviction. The ruling, and this again, quoting from the New York Times, resurrected the key issue in Mr. Valle's widely followed trial. When does a virtual crime contemplated in internet chat rooms become an actual crime? And we have a couple of minutes here, so let's throw it to the panel, Libby.
Libby. They didn't throw it to me.
Yeah, I mean, unless they had actual evidence of a conspiracy, you know, we're going to go get her at X time on this day. You know, people do lots of crazy things in these chat rooms, and some people do major fantasy stuff. I mean, you go to Second Life. I'm sure that some people are playing out this kind of stuff in Second Life, which is, you know, you actually have avatars and you live another life through there. And, you know... Is it misogynist? Yes. Does it indicate how he feels about women? Yes. Is he dangerous? I think so. But he just thought this stuff. And so while I wish that he didn't think this stuff, you know, it opens up a can of worms.
He did more than think, though. He said it in a public forum. Post 9/11, has the equation changed, Alan or Stu, whoever jumps in first, has the equation changed? In other words, post 9/11, you say, hey, I'm taking out an airliner. They'll be at your house.
Or how about child porn, you know, in which we do take action.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And so.
But there are clear victims in that case, slightly different than just saying, for instance, I am going to, you know, blow up something.
You know, Raymond, everything is different. Everything is different. This is different from that, you know, and all the rest of it. I hate these people, by the way. I mean, I think that the internet has been abused like crazy. I think people have been bullied. I think people have been threatened. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I just think we've got to think this thing through. I'm a big civil libertarian, but I really think there are limits as to what people should be posting and what they should be allowed to
do. Are you then not in favor of what the judge did yesterday and overturned the conviction?
No, I really don't know enough to tell you the truth. I haven't looked at it closely enough, but I can tell you this. You know, if I'm on a jury and somebody starts telling me about cannibalism and the rest of it, it is certainly true, possible that everybody's going to hold up their hand and say, we're punishing you for what you were thinking mm-hmm. as opposed to for what you were doing.
And one of the allegations that was upheld was that he was a police officer.
Yeah.
This gentleman,
yes,
a New York City police officer. And he apparently accessed an NYPD database to, apparently the allegation was, to search for potential victims. Mm. And that was upheld by the court. That was not overturned. And he was released after, in essence, time served for that. You know, but on the larger
illegal
question,
use of the database.
Right.
Regardless of his motivation to use it.
Right.
He's
He did not access it for the police access that he is allowed. But, you know, the larger question of here of you know, does the fear, does the fantasy become real? You know, I think it would be a great debate between Clarence Darrow and F. Lee Bailey, because there's issues here that I think are going to come back and have to be redefined, because, I mean, no woman was attacked.
Right.
No one was touched.
Yet.
But
that's the problem.
Is the conspiracy... Yeah. Is the conspiracy enough? I mean, if a 14-year-old online says he's going to bomb his junior high school, but he doesn't do it,
do you
charge him?
Well, that's the question.
That's
unfortunately,
the question, yes.
Stu, we don't have any more time. So that's it, and you'll be back in
six months. And let us know your thoughts.
No, it's a very tasty story.
Oh, that's great, Alan. Thank you for
you've
that.
Been boning up on it.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Oh, please complain about that one. Libby Post, Stu Shinsky, Alan Shartok, thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. Now we will take you after the news to the musical portion of our program.